This reading is taken from Colossians 4, verses 2 to 6, which can be found on page 1184 of your pew Bibles. Colossians 4, verses 2 to 6, page 1184. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. This is the word of the Lord.
The second reading is from Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 5, on prayer. That's on page 970 in the Pew Bibles. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. Excuse me. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. This is the word of the Lord.
A prayer before I start. Lord, I do pray that you'll take these words and use them to bring glory to you, because we ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, if you've been with us throughout August, you know that we've been looking through the book of Colossians, the book that Paul wrote to them. And we've got one more week to go, but we're almost at the end. We've got Paul's last instruction to the Colossians, and I've called it praying and boasting. Well, perhaps not boasting, perhaps maybe showing off would be a better way of putting it. And I'll explain that a bit later on, because we don't like boasts, do we? But before I do that and get into the passage, I'd like to try a demonstration. Many, many years ago, when I was a fairly young lad, and Peter Burgess, who's sitting over there, he was my scout master. And one of the ways we learnt to communicate then, it might be in my imagination, Peter, but I think it was there, we learnt to do it with flags. Do you remember? Semaphore. Now, I want to try and experiment with that, and I did actually set up a couple of young people before, and I wonder if you could come out now and help me with this demonstration. Here are flags. Do you remember them? Like this. Now, Luke is going to show us how they work. and hopefully you'll be able to interpret what they're saying. Now, I'm going to... Now, I'll give you a little bit of time just to see if you can put these the words up and you see if you can see what he's actually signing. Okay, that's the first letter.
It's hard to reverse it.
You got that one? Okay. That's good. Well, I think it's going to take a long time to get there, isn't it, really? Let's try another way. This is something else I'm sure Peter Burgess would have taught me. You have that one there.
Same thing, yes.
You have to pull it tight. No. Well, she's got it. Actually, I was going to get you to act it out. It was Lion King, and she got it. Well done. Well, let's face it, it's a bit tricky, isn't it? I mean, using... Thank you very much, both of you. Do sit down. That's lovely. What's the best way to communicate with each other? Just talk, isn't it? That's what it's all about. It's a bit tricky when I'm actually missing my wife. My wife's on the trip to Condor at the moment, and you don't know quite how much you rely on a person until they're not there anymore. At least I haven't killed myself with my cooking yet, but... But anyway, just talk. And that's what we're thinking about today in the passage, talking to God, praying. That's what it's about. I don't know if any of you have been... I know Wendy's okay because I've had the odd WhatsApp from her and I've been watching the Instagram posts. Have any of the rest of you been watching them at all? Good. One or two. They really have been good. And although I can't project it, I think it would have been difficult to do. But I will just play you a little bit from one of them that we got. Hopefully it will come out. Very short bit. There have been about five or six posts that have come out over the week. Do try and get to see them. You will find them on Instagram. It's Condoa Team, I think it's called, and have a look. But that's kept me in touch. What a wonderful thing the phone is, isn't it? Miles better than cans and waving flags at each other, things have developed over the years. But our way in which we talk to God remains the same, and hopefully for each of us, that is a case of just talking to him. We don't need any special apparatus in order to do it. We don't need a special place. It's good to meet together and pray together. That's important. And I know for some people it's handy to perhaps something to have something to focus on. But really, prayer, our prayer to God, should be a conversation, like having a conversation with a friend. In our gospel reading from Luke, Jesus was telling his followers how not to pray at the beginning of it, wasn't he? He got a bit cross with it. He says, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to stand in the synagogues and on the street corners so that people could see them praying. That's not the way to do it. And then he goes on, and when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them. And then he gave them a pattern of how to pray. And that was to, and we call it the Lord's Prayer, we'll use it later on. He asked us within it to remember our dependence on God and ask for his help in keeping us living the way he wants to. That's the essentials of the Lord's Prayer. But sometimes we don't necessarily know or to think about how we can pray. I've been on holiday with my daughter during the past week, which was great. We went to Italy, and she said, well, Dad, I can remember being taught how to pray as a child, and it went like this. My thumb is to say thank you to God. My first finger is to remember people I know, things around. It would be a good way to pray for others within the church and people we know. Our second longer finger is to think about praying for the bigger things, the things of the world that are difficult. Our fourth finger, mine actually gets stuck, I don't know about that. It's the weakest finger in the hand. And that's, in a way, she felt was a way to remember people in need. And that was a good way of remembering it. And then the little finger's praying for ourselves. And in a way, it's quite a good balance, isn't it, of how our prayer life should be. And I hope, John might be using that method of prayer for our prayers a bit later on. The important thing to remember is that God is listening whenever or however we talk to him. He just longs for us to do it. And it's not a one-way conversation. It's worth just making a note of the things you pray for during the week, and just see how he responds. You might call it divine coincidences. I believe he does answer our prayers, and a lot of you would know that more than me. But I've got to get back to the passage, haven't I? Big introduction. The two things that Paul wants us to learn from this bit of Colossians is how to speak to God about people by praying, and how to speak to people about God by boasting or showing off. So how to speak to God about people. Paul says, devote yourself to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Give it our full attention. That's what I think it means. Don't give up. Keep on coming back to it. Now, back during Lent, Mark asked us to pray for five people as members of the congregation. How many of us are still praying for them? Super. It's something that things might not happen straight away, and it's good that we care enough to go on praying. Paul says, devote yourself to prayer. So that means keep at it. We need to care what we're praying for. And sometimes that does take time. the next bit is quite important. He says, be watchful. And to my mind, that means not falling asleep, being aware of what the current needs are, and to keep in touch. Things change and move on. We need to have our prayers up to date and be praying in the right way. And the last way he's saying in that is be thankful. Our prayers need a lot of praise, and saying thank you as part of it. Thumbs up. Lots to say thank you for. Then Paul says in verse 3, pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may speak or proclaim it as clearly as I should. Paul wants them to pray for him. He's locked up. He's under arrest. We don't know if he was in prison or whether he was under house arrest. He may be chained to a soldier. What can he do in those circumstances? And note that in his request, he's not asking them to pray that he gets released. But he's not a superman. He's got feelings. He's probably frustrated about being restricted. How would we like it if we were locked up for just speaking about Jesus? Yet we know that in the world, that's the fate of many people in our world. But he doesn't give up. The last thing he's thinking about is that he can't do anything. He just wants them to pray for strength to carry on and to have a message to say. And we know that he's writing letters. This is one of them, Colossians. And he's got someone to help him. He's got a scribe who's helping him. And he's speaking to those he meets because he knows that it's his job to tell others about Jesus. And we know that even some of the Roman guards and officials were impressed by what he said. He's asking for their prayers that he may have the opportunity to tell others about Jesus. And you know, God has honoured that request, not only with the people around him at the time, but he's still speaking to us today, isn't he? That's his message. We're still getting it. That's why we're here this morning. Paul would want us to pray for every preacher. In a way, if you think about that, if we don't pray for the guy who's up here talking, then how's God going to be able to speak? It needs that sort of involvement from us as well. Praise the Lord for all those who faithfully preach about Jesus here week by week. Because every sermon should be an eye-opener, so that the truth about Jesus is made clear and it's no longer a mystery to us. Paul knew that his job was to preach, but it's not a job for everyone to do that. Huge sigh of relief all round. But it does bring us to Paul's second concern. How should we speak to others about God? This is what he says. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Paul, in a way, as I've said, he's telling them to boast, to show off. Now, if I've got a new car, and you might have a new hairdo, or the children might have a new toy or computer game, you want your friends to notice, wouldn't you? You'd be sort of pleased about that if they do. Paul is telling them to boast and show off their faith in Jesus and the love that Jesus has shown to them, to show the difference he has made to our lives by living it out. He's telling them not to be shy about their faith. Let people know what you're made of and what we have to offer in Christ. What a difference he's made in our lives. He wants our honesty, sincerity, compassion, and genuine concern for others to set us apart, to serve like a beacon to other people. Then people might ask us, why are you like that? Paul longs that the Colossians have an effect on their community like salt has on the things that surround it. Now, unfortunately, salt has got a bad press now, hasn't it? I note that when I go down to Wetherspoons, I have to do a big search of all the tables to try and find some. But in the sense that Paul is using the word salt, it's all positive. He wants us to give flavour to life, to preserve the things so that things don't rot, to bring energy, to bring value, to help purify, to bring healing, to give energy, to let our love for Jesus show. And I suppose the crunch question for us is, we're here today and praise the Lord for that. We may do other work during the week, serving Jesus in other ways. But when we get back into the world, into our routine and busy life, will it show in our actions? And I used to do a lot of driving around the M25, and I don't know if my reaction was always good when I got cut up. But in a way, we do need to pray that the Holy Spirit gives us strength and opportunity to live lives that are worthy of our faith in Jesus. If our lives have integrity, our actions will speak much louder than our words. Then we might have people asking us questions, and we will know how to answer them. Let's just pray a prayer. Lord, help us as we live out our faith in you. So often our lives are showing more of us and little of you. Forgive us when the things we say and do deny rather than affirm you. Forgive us if we try to hide that we're followers of you because of fear of what others may think. Help us to follow you faithfully, reflecting your love, showing your compassion, and responding to your guidance. Touch our hearts, strengthen our faith, so that we may bring glory to your holy name, because we ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.